we all have someone we're following even today. So we're being discipled by someone or something. And it's super important because it's just a really good reminder to wake up to the reality of like, okay, who is Jay Ewing following today? Who am I tuning in? Who am I giving my time to? Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for tuning in. Like always, do me a huge favor. Visit your campus by going to calvarybible.com. Click your campus and find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. Get connected and stay connected by visiting calvarybible.com. So many great things happening this fall here at Calvary, and I do not want you to miss out on the opportunity to jump into this wonderful community. Today on this podcast, we're in the digital space with Mark Wicks. He's on the Boulder campus today. I'm actually in my home library. If you're watching YouTube, you see this. And if you're listening audibly, you just go to the YouTube page and see what we're talking about there. Mark, it's good to have you, man.
It's good to be here, Jay.
Yeah, how's your day going on Wednesday?
Oh, it's going good. Just troubleshooting new technology. We're trying something new here. Just seeing if we can you record a different way and make it easier to schedule people on the podcast, which has been a challenge.
Yeah,
lately.
It has been a challenge. There's a lot of things happening at Calvary, and so many people sacrifice to be on this podcast, and we're just trying to make that a little easier for those individuals. We're in John 3, and I'm sitting down with our resident Canadian, which is awesome. So good that he's in the booth with us today.
Does that connect to John 3 in some way?
Yes, it does. Canada and John 3, yes. There's a link somewhere in there for you. So, Mark, tell me about like your journey in the Gospel of John 1 through 3 so far. What are you finding interesting? What's sticking out to you sort of week to week as we deep dive into John 3?
Yeah, it's been really, really good just to, I mean, we're kind of revisiting some really familiar passages, and yet I think it's just still feeling just so fresh and vivid and timely, you know, as we're just talking about God's love for the world and, you know, this hope that we have in the gospel, you know, I think in the times that we're in is just feels so imperative that we are relying on that and focusing on that. And John just really brings it out in some really rich ways, I think, so far.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's just sort of, you know, as we approach each week, I'm also so reminded that the Lord established sort of this preaching calendar and in his good sovereign hand, and the way in which we bump into the text each week is super important because it's so timely, like you're saying. I thought John Boyle's update, even on Instagram, about sort of John 3 and John the Baptist was really timely in the season we find ourselves in.
Yeah, for those who don't know what Jay's talking about, it's Wednesday as we record this, and we usually put out, you know, a midweek update, and John recorded a video for us that's going out today, and just kind of walks through where we're at in John and through the book, and yeah, just connecting it to, you know, it's been a challenging couple of weeks, and I think John Boyle unpacks how that is connecting to the times that we're living through right now really well. Check that out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think it's super timely, and thankful for your department's ministry and comms communications to shoot something like that and to publish it. It's really cool. So we're in John 3, and actually on my screen, I have it pulled up and on the iPad, and it says that Jesus and his disciples, right? And then John and some of his disciples of John chapter 3, 22 and 25. How interesting is it that like in this day that Jesus finds himself in, that there's a lot of individuals who have disciples?
Yeah, you know, I got pointed out some of the sermons, and, you know, we so connect that word to Jesus' 12 disciples specifically,
right?
You know, that we don't think of it like having a different context or meaning something else, you know, but we're like seeing here, we're in a time where probably a lot of people had quote-unquote disciples, you know, and so we've got Jesus, John's disciples, you probably had other religious leaders who had disciples. I don't know if it extended beyond like the religious realm of the time, but for that time, that was normal, that you would kind of see somebody that you wanted to like look up to, learn from them, like be like them, and then you kind of follow them around and identify yourself as a follower in that way, as a disciple. So kind of for us, it maybe doesn't, it seems like, oh, why is that word being used for multiple groups of people? But it's normal in the context of the time.
Yeah, it really is. And I love how in the preaches, especially in Thomas, where he says, we all have someone we're following even today. So we're being discipled by someone or something. And it's super important because it's just a really good reminder to wake up to the reality of like, okay, who is Jay Ewing following today? Who am I tuning in? Who am I giving my time to? You know, some would say we're making disciples, followers, as we podcast even. But, you know, I think it's, we all have people who look up to us as well. So no matter what, your teacher, you're in the professional world, you're raising kids, you have grandkids, you have friends, we're all discipling someone by our actions. Super important to remember.
Yeah. And it, you know, it extends into so many areas of life. It can be personal interactions. It could be people, you know, but I think for a lot of us in our time, it's social media influencers, politicians, celebrities, you know, religious leaders that aren't a part of our church, you know, that are far away. You know, and so it's just really a moment for reflection, you know, to be like, yeah, what do I spend my time with? Allowing that to shape me and form me, and who am I trying to be like? So yeah, we definitely don't use the word disciple in our modern context in that way. But I think, yeah, you bring up a good point of just really trying to realize that we do follow things and people, even if we're not aware of it.
Right. That's right. And in John, here in John 3, these two words, disciple, the argument was around baptism, right? Like why is John baptizing? Who should I be following in this time? Like John's ministry is coming to an end, and here, you know, John's disciples are still baptizing, and Jesus shows up with his disciples, and there's a lot of questions about like who do we need to follow? And John the Baptist reminds them that he's a witness. I think that's a big word. How do you think witness today fits into our context? Like, in the sense of we use that word even earlier in some other podcasts, but what does a witness mean to you, Mark, when we talk about it here in John 3?
I think in our modern context, again, I think it can be kind of a foreign word. Yet, you know, you brought up, I think last time we sat down together, you know, how it was used in like advertising with LeBron James and Nike. You know, so it does get thrown out there sometimes, you know, so it's usually like, oh, we're witnessing this like great thing, you know, great achievement by an athlete, a key moment in history, you know, that we're kind of watching often from afar unfolding, or, you know, that would be mostly connected to those kinds of things for us culturally now, you know, that we're watching something from afar, you know, we're a spectator to it. Whereas here in John 3, you know, and kind of the context that we've talked about it so far, it's more than that. You know, I'm going to kind of proclaim something that I have seen, but I'm not just saying I saw it. I'm saying like, I saw it and you should pay attention to it too. I guess, you know, that's the kind of the evangelism kind of component of it as well in the Christian context. So John is saying, you know, I saw him coming. I pointed him out to you. Like, here's the one that I'm worthy to untie his sandals, and you should be checking him out and going to him now.
Yeah.
And so it's not just a spectator thing. There's also like an action element of like, go and follow Jesus.
Yeah, I would agree. The interesting thing there is like, he says, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. So even John knew his ministry, even in the context of this question, is like, I'm not the Christ. I was sent before him, the forerunner. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him. And then I love this word that John uses here. He says, rejoices greatly. And it's so important to remember, like, part of the witness is that we rejoicing greatly that Jesus is in front of us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In John's case, Jesus is coming after him. But for our case, like, we're a witness and we rejoice greatly when we see Jesus show up.
Yeah, and that's what makes it, you know, it's the gospel. It's the good news, which I love how Thomas just always, like, never takes it for granted that, like, somebody understands a word, you know, and so he is often redefining things for us and just reminding us that that word gospel that we use a lot in kind of church contexts, you know, it means good news, and that's what we're seeing here with John. It's like, I have news for you, and it's good, you know, which brings in the rejoicing component.
No doubt. Is rejoicing. I thought that was a very standout. And then it says, therefore this joy of mine is now complete, which is super interesting that even John understands that his ministry here is coming to an end in some ways, that his joy is complete. Like, he has fulfilled everything in which the Lord has prepared him to do to prepare people for the arrival of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, I love his humility that you see here and just like, I did my job and it's done now. And that's good. You know, there's no vanity to John in this story. And, you know, we know fast forwarding, you know, that he has when he's sitting rotting in prison, you know, facing death, like he's like, Jesus, are you really the one?
That's right.
Is this all worth it? Kind of a moment, which is so human and understandable, you know, but even then it's not about like, did I squander my popularity, you know? So he's just such a humble figure, just so sure of his mission. And it's just a really neat thing to see that.
Yeah. And, you know, it gets me to think about a question I think we all need to wrestle with is like, do we know why we're put on planet Earth? Do we know our mission? Do we have something before us that we know God has given to us in order to, just like John the Baptist, rejoice greatly in hearing his voice? And, you know, how do we discover that? What are ways in which we can live our lives in rhythm of sort of that calling, that each of us unique calling that we play where God has put us, is a really important sort of question to ask, even in the midst of John 3 and John the Baptist. So when we talk about John the Baptist here, his sort of most famous statement in this section is John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's a really famous section of John the Baptist that has been used in a lot of formation circles, in a lot of Christian formation circles. And I think that's, what do you think? Is that the goal of the Christian life, is to have him increase and us decrease?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that's kind of what we're supposed to be all about, is pointing people to Jesus, proclaiming him. You know, we talk about like telling our own stories. You know, that's like a key kind of component of sharing Jesus with the world, is just like, talk about like, here's what Jesus has done in my life. You know, and it's not to highlight, but it's not to highlight anything about us. You know, it's not to say,
right,
like, and I'm amazing because God did this through me, you know, kind of thing. You know, but it's like, it's really, this is the place is we're trying to like, through the example of our lives that people can identify with, take that spotlight and turn it onto Jesus. And so I do think that is, you know, and that's kind of like the goal of Christian maturity too. It's just like, I want to become more like Jesus and less of my kind of sinful self, you know, is what I'm trying to achieve and pursue. You know, it's not to say there's no place for your own identity. I think God has made us as unique people, and, you know, like, we should realize like, we're wonderful creations that he has made. And he values us, you know, so it's not like there's no value to us, but that's our job in some way as a Christian.
I couldn't agree more, Mark. I think you're right. It's a mark of maturity, growing in type of sort of attitude that we have as we follow Jesus, is to look more like John the Baptist in this case, of he must increase and I must decrease. And that's challenging. I mean, you say you're in a secular work environment, or, you know, you're trying to make a basketball team in high school. Like, it's hard to think about how you decrease in order to even sort of reach some of your goals in life.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but I think there's like an element here too with John. Like, he didn't stop ministering. You know, like here, Jesus is doing his thing. John is still proclaiming. He's still doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is stopped by getting arrested and ultimately beheaded. Like, that's what puts an end to it. It's not Jesus appearing didn't put an end to John still, like, being out there and doing the work that God had given him to do. You know, and so I think for us, it's like, you know, you should excel in your job. You should excel in your sport. You should excel in your, as a friend and as a neighbor and all those things. Yep. Like, you should, it's not about, like, getting to a point and being like, well, that's it. I'm packing it up. You know, my person I cared about, they know about Jesus now. I'm all done, kind of a thing. Or it's not about like, well, no, I don't want to get too good at that because then I'm taking the attention away or something like that, you know. But it's just continuing to use what God
that's really good. Us,
what God has
called us to. I like that a lot, Mark. That's a really good understanding. You know, he goes on to say here that he who comes from above is above all. It's sort of that First John 1 type language. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in earthly ways. Who comes from heaven is above all. That's sort of the Nicodemus conversation that we just had in chapter 3 of where does Jesus' authority come from? It comes from the one who can descend and ascend. And here, even John the Baptist is trying to recognize that as well with the conversation. He says he bears witness to what he has seen and heard. No one receives his testimony. That's, I guess, John 1, late in the chapter of John 1 about those who don't receive the testimony of Jesus. And he says, whoever receives this testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. From he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. I love sort of John's recognition of Jesus, of the testimony is true because it's from God, and ultimate all truth comes from God. And then he utters words from God. It goes back to that idea of, like, if you want to know who God is, just look at Jesus, because he is the one who is God and knows who God is. And so, you know, you want the clearest picture of who God is? Well, you look at Jesus type idea there with John.
Yeah.
What do you think about when it comes to he gives the Spirit without measure, sort of an invitation that you and I can live a life that is in the Spirit that never sort of runs out. It's what maybe we're going here in John 4 next week with the woman at the well. There's water that is more than abundant for everything you need.
It's getting into like what we called this series, you know, with our title, That You May Have Life, you know, and John just really, you know, he's not just writing kind of a historical document. Like Luke is like, I mean, all the biblical, all the gospel authors, they are trying to teach you things, you know, so I don't want to reduce them to like, it's just a historical document. They all have things that they are trying to teach you, but John's way is very unique and is more overtly, you know, trying to like hammer home these ideas and thoughts. You know, and I think some of the things you were pointing out from the passage is just get to, like, he really wants his readers, these churches that he cares for, these people that he cares for, he really wants them to understand that this full abundant life is found in Jesus. And so I think that's what you're kind of getting to, what you're highlighting is, you know, John really wants us to understand that. He wants us to get it. Doesn't want us to miss that. Wants to teach, you know, that as kind of a core concept of what he's going after.
Just one of those threads throughout the Gospel of John. You know, it's an invitation for us. Like, do we want abundant life? How do we get abundant life? And that comes from the pursuit and the recognition of who Jesus is and the things in which he provides for us. Super important.
You were talking earlier about, like, he must increase and I must decrease, you know, that kind of idea, you know, and, you know, we're talking about, like, what does it mean to have, like, this abundant life?
The way the kingdom is upside down, and John in the gospel is inviting to that sort of upside down thinking. John the Baptist tells you his upside down thinking for how sort of the world works. And it's just important to recognize that, like, we all want success. We all want honor. We all want recognition. The way in which we go about that is actually Jesus's increase, and we decrease and letting God sort of do the way in which he wants to write sort of that recognition into the story. Is it just a great invitation for us? All right, so we're turning the corner from John 3 to John 4. We have this next week, The Woman at the Well, which is just a fascinating story of another character in the Gospel of John. And she's so fascinating because she really is the epitome of who Jesus is seeking and searching out throughout the Gospels. When you think about the woman at the well, what sort of comes to mind for you as we prepare next week?
Here we're going to have Jesus encounter someone who is, she's kind of like the ultimate cultural outcast, you know, just like not religious, her life is messy, kind of, you know, she's kind of the cultural, the social rules, she's not abiding by those to some degree. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just going to have this amazing encounter with Jesus, just showing that he really does value everyone. He's going to break some yep. cultural rules in order to love this woman, to care for her, and to point her to him. And it's a really incredible story.
This is going to be a really good week. And as John Boyle invited us in Instagram, this is a great Sunday to invite your friends who don't know Jesus. Because what the story is, it's like, you know, it's not that story of like, I'm going to invite my neighbor to church this week. Great, we're going to talk about money, you know, that type of week or something like that, or church politics or, yeah, it's we are talking about this woman's encounter with Jesus, and it's going to be pretty beautiful. All right. Thanks so much, Mark, for logging in this week, talking through sort of John 3, the back half. So thankful for you. Hey, Calvary, we're so glad you tuned in. Thanks for being so patient with us as we use new technology. Like always, visit calvarybible.com. Click your campus. Find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. Again, so grateful for the weekly and the community that listens on such a regular basis. We hope that you're encouraged, you're equipped, that there's some really great insights that you can take into your everyday life as you think about how does Jesus increase in your life and how do you decrease? That invitation from John the Baptist as we studied it this week. Looking forward to being with you. Love ya. Talk to you soon. Have a great rest of the week.